All right. I want to greet everyone in Jesus' name. Glad to be with you again this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We ask your blessing, Father, upon this time together. Lord, we ask that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you'd give us the words to say, Lord, that you would give us wisdom, Father. Help us to be faithful to you, Lord, and bring glory to you. Again, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 17. We'll just begin in verse 1. I want to get you down here a little further, but we'll start there. Chapter 17 of Luke, verse 1. He said to his disciples, "It is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to him through whom they come." We'll just stop right there. It's inevitable that stumbling blocks will come. One of the things that we just need to remind ourselves that we're not promised an easy road. And there will be things that come up, people, problems, that will hinder us on the path. And so that's what I want to just, it's inevitable that stumbling blocks come. Then it warns that woe unto them that by whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung about his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he would cause one of these little ones to stumble. Here is probably one of the most severe things in the Bible that Jesus puts a curse on. If it were that it would be better for a millstone to be hung around our neck and thrown in the sea for offending one of these little ones. And a lot of times whenever we think of offending someone, it's not in the way that we usually think about. To offend someone, a lot of times there's a lot of talk about people being offended maybe by something that we say today. You can't hardly say anything without being offended. And that's not what he's talking about here. You know, we kind of go on pins and needles because we're afraid we're going to say the wrong thing and offend someone. Well, offending someone because they're doing something wrong, or because people have become so sensitive that you can't say anything, it's not what he's talking about. This offending someone is whenever we would cause them to stumble, we'd set them on the wrong path. We'd turn them aside. Someone trying to follow the Lord, and we discourage them. And they get offended or they get upset, and it just makes it difficult for them to continue. Offending someone, is like I said, we have the wrong concept of it, or of being offended. But someone that would actually make it more difficult for us to walk on the right path, and a lot of times this happens, is by religious people. That Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and he said that you won't go into the kingdom of heaven, and those that would, you hinder. You know, there's people that are very religious, and I want to just kind of put a definition on religious. Religious is someone that adheres to any kind of dogma. Seriously, that's someone that's religious. That's not necessarily what it means to be righteous. To be righteous is to do the right thing, to be faithful, to be diligent. Sometimes our dogmas or our ideas of what someone ought to be, that's how we set a stumbling block in front of someone. Instead of allowing them to follow the Lord and allow them to even make mistakes sometime. We allow them to, we try to put our agenda on them. I don't know how many times I've seen it, but we've found someone or someone's come to us and wanted help and they're hungry. And there's just a line of people that come and they start wanting to have a time with them so they can teach them what they want them to learn. And there's just one right after another. People just flock around them, just trying to teach them something. That, instead of being a help, most of the time that becomes a stumbling block to the person. But it's usually the serious religious person that's trying to make sure they set that person on the right path. And so the very thing that they think that they're doing winds up being the opposite thing that they wind up doing. They wind up putting a big stumbling block in front of that person. And that person has to, if they continue faithfully, they have to get over or get around this thing that's been set in front of them before they can even learn to follow the Lord properly again. They were doing fine. And like I said, I've just seen it before you get someone that's hungry, someone that's fresh and new, someone that's trying to follow the Lord, and they're like a magnet to religious people. And they just come out of the woodwork to feed them their dogma. And I think that is one of the very things, that's one of the very ways that we set a stumbling block in front of someone. We think we're doing good, but we're actually hindering them. And I don't know, that's one of the things that I think there's a statement that says the road to hell is paved with good intentions. You know, it's people that think that they're really doing something. They think they're really helping. That's why I think it says, the Bible tells us not to be ready to be a teacher. Not to be quick to be a teacher or a leader. Because what happens is, you know, we see a problem or we see a concern, and it happens in everyday life all around us. And someone's ready to jump right in and fix the problem. And most of the time when I hear about it, I just think, why? Just stop. We don't need your help a lot of times. Just stop. And it'll be all right. And like I said, it's good intentions, good heart often. It's someone that's just really trying. But in reality, what we're doing is setting a stumbling block. We don't see the harm that's done oftentimes in doing stuff like that. And I just want to encourage us just to be careful. We don't have to fix, you know, if there's a fire burning somewhere and you can throw a little water on it, that's fine. But if you just see a little smoke or you have the, you know, it's a little bit like this people getting offended. They're just waiting to get offended. Just wanting to be offended. And so we just look for an opportunity to be offended. Well, on the same hand, people look for an opportunity to be a help. And we don't have to look that hard. Because oftentimes we, just that very helpfulness is what winds up offending people. Setting a stumbling block before a little one. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that that can happen. Verse 3, it says, be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. You know, I think a lot of times this is just carried out way too far in churches. It's just pretty simple. If your brother offends you, or a brother sins against you, not just offends you, it's not about your feelings. It's about if a brother sins against you. And this is not something that you just speculate, well, he said this, or he did that, or he... That's not what he's talking about. I'm talking about if someone actually sins against you. We take this verse and think that anything, we turn it to ourselves, and we just look just like the little offended snowflake that melts down at every little situation. We are looking at our brother. We're looking at all of the people in the church, just waiting for them to offend us so I can go rebuke them. I mean, the sad thing is there's a lot of people that live that way. And it's not one bit different from the little, like I said, the little snowflake that's ready to have a meltdown because we said something wrong or didn't do it just right. We look out in the world and we see these people just losing their gourds because, you know, someone called a he a she or a she a he or whatever they want to be, and you call them wrong and they just fall completely apart. And we despise that. We hate it. But, you know, that attitude can come pretty close to home sometimes whenever we're sitting in church just waiting for someone to do us wrong. And so we can just jump all over them. Repent, you know, tell them to repent. We're quick to want to change somebody else. It's not. If someone actually sins against you and you're ready to forgive them, you're not trying to catch them doing something wrong. You're not trying to lay a trap for them. If someone actually does you wrong, you know, if we have a right heart and attitude about it, we're ready to forgive them while they're doing it. If they actually do us wrong. But 90% of the wrongs that are done us are all just wrongs that we create right up here in our head because we might be in a bad mood and somebody didn't say something just the way we ought to or think they ought to have. So it's like I said, we can be a lot closer to the snowflake sometimes, or that can creep in, but it looks righteous. Or it looks holy because we've got a Bible verse to stand behind it. That's the big thing. That's the big difference. You know, we can be the same as the world, and just because we have a Bible verse, if we've got the same spirit, we've got the same spirit. So if someone actually does you wrong, forgive them. That's the bottom line. You don't have to go straighten them out. You don't have to fix them. You be the example of just forgiving them. That would help. That'll go a long ways in helping them get past their problem. You know, if we're waiting for them to stumble, if we're waiting, and we lay these stumbling blocks in our own mind, waiting for them to do something, and then we jump all over them. Isn't that a stumbling block? we're sitting in front of somebody else instead of something real. So churches sometimes just spend all their time just setting stumbling blocks in front of each other, thinking or saying that they're actually trying to help or trying to fix things. I think that's one of the biggest misconceptions. You know, there's a lot of people say, well, if you love your brother, you'll rebuke him. And so they just try to invent ways to go love their brother. And it's as fake and as phony as it can be, because all it is a way to exalt ourselves, to make ourselves feel a little more comfortable, make ourselves feel a little higher, because there's nothing here. And so we invent all these things in our mind, just like the people in the world that melt down because they didn't get their way. And so the only way that they can feel good about themselves is to tear someone else down or be ready to jump on somebody. And that's the whole heart of it. You know, whenever we truly follow the Lord and we truly find peace and rest, we don't have to tear someone else down to be at peace with God. It's just there. We don't have to fix everybody else or be above them in some way. It's just there. Like I said, whenever we get caught up in all of that, all we're doing is setting stumbling blocks, not only for our brother, but for ourselves. What we're doing is not only fitting a stumbling block, we're tying a heavy weight around our own necks. Because when we're offended that way so easily, where we're just ready to, all we're doing is adding to that millstone that's getting tied around our own neck. All we're doing is forming the chain. And we're doing it all ourselves. Be on guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And I think this be on guard, I don't think it means be on guard, keep a lookout on your brother. That's not what he's talking about here. Be on guard. Don't get caught up in all this being religious. Be on guard so that if your brother does sin against you, you're ready to forgive him immediately. Not be on guard so you can don't have your knife out or your sword out really sharp so you can cut him in half whenever he does you wrong. There's a worldly song that talks about he confesses his sin so you can sharpen your knife so I can confess my sin. I don't know how it goes, but it's something he talked. But the thought is you confessing just gives you an opportunity, gives someone, and it's talking about religious people. It's I'll confess my sin so you can sharpen your knife. So you can be ready. Someone trying to, maybe looking for help. So they confess their sins and there's someone right there with their knife to ready to cut them in half with it or stab them in the back with it or whatever. That's a stumbling block. They look at it as, I'm really sharp on the Bible. I'm really ready to just tear in against evil. Be strong and faithful, a Phineas, getting ready to run in the tent and run him through. But all we're really doing is setting a stumbling block in front of a brother. And if he sins against you 7 times a day and returns to you 7 times, saying, I repent, forgive him. Be on your guard. That's what we're to be on our guard about. If he fails you 7 times in a day, you forgive him. because that's where the real test is. You know, it doesn't say rebuke him seven times again in a day. You know, people know if they're honest and if they're true, they know when they're wrong. And when they confess it or just acknowledge it, they don't need you to straighten them out or add on or build on that. You know, one of the things that, you know, I've seen people that someone confesses something to them and, oh, they're just shocked. Don't know how you could have done that. Well, anyone that's shocked because someone's done them wrong don't know themselves very well. They've never come to the place where they've completely lost themselves and realized that I could be capable of the very same thing. You know, and that's another way of being offended, that is a false offense. It's a being offended that is just a selfish offense. It's not because, you know, most of the time whenever someone's done us wrong and we get hurt, we get our feelings hurt, that's usually when the knife comes out. And because we're trying to defend ourselves, we're trying to protect ourselves. Whenever someone has done us wrong, and we've been sinned against, and it's real, that's whenever we need to, you know, we're all capable of those things. That's when we need to look at ourselves and say, I'm capable of that very thing. Because there's nothing that's in you that is in anybody else or any different. This false idea of being offended because someone did me wrong. That's where we forgive. Not forgive so we can write it down in our little book and remember that, but to forgive and let it go. Because I'm capable of the same thing. Anything that you mention, we're all capable of that same thing. And we're trying to get through this world, not rack up big points to impress whoever it is in our mind that we're trying to impress, or to make ourselves feel bigger or better. And if he sins against you seven times in a day and returns to you seven times saying, I repent, forgive him. You know, if we really examine what's in people, you know, sometimes we see people and we think that they're really bad people. And we think of them and we just think those are really bad people. You know, I mean, we can think of some politicians and things like that that are just doing evil things right now. And so we get in our head that those are really bad people. But you know, this is one of the dangers of doing wrong. You know, I've heard people say, well, if I ever fall away from God, God will tell me. And so I know I haven't fallen away because God hasn't told me yet. And that sounds wonderful, and it would be really nice if it was that simple. But the problem is when he does tell us, we didn't hear him. And so we wind up, what happens is people see themselves, for the most part, especially hardened people, they see themselves as not bad people. How many times have you heard whenever someone did something wrong or something, well, I'm not a bad person? Because that's what we tell ourselves to make ourselves feel better. I'm not a bad person. And you know, I'll guarantee you, You could think of the evilest person in your mind right now. And if you actually were able to visit with that evil person for just a little. I mean, there's people that are evil and they know they're evil and they're proud of it. But that's not the majority of people. The majority of people that have this appearance don't see themselves as bad people. They see themselves as just having to do sometimes what they have to do to get by, but they still see themselves as a good person. That's the nature of people justifying themselves when they're doing wrong. That's what happens when why people are quick to rebuke someone else is because they're justifying what's in their hearts by doing it. That's a lot of times that's what we're trying to do whenever we're so quick to rebuke, so quick to try to fix something. It's because we're trying to justify our own hearts. To repent is to come to God like the song, just as I am. And that doesn't mean I'm just as I am, God's going to accept me and I don't have to change anymore. But to come just as I am means to come as, this is who I am. This is what I have to work with. And all I'm going to try to do is do your will from now on. And his will is not just being devoted to religious dogma. His will is to be like him. Oh, to be like him, like we're saying. Full of compassion, full of mercy. Being like Jesus, helping those that actually need help, and doing the help that we are actually capable of doing. It's being someone, you know, we sing the song, Can He Depend on You? We have some in the past. Can He Depend on You? And he's not looking for someone super religious or super just ready to pounce on everyone. He's looking for that person that's ready to be done wrong, that's ready to forgive. You know, because if you look at the life of Jesus, it's full of disappointment. I mean, as far as we see things. The life of a disciple is going to look pretty rough to the world. It looks like it's full of disappointments, but being ready or being on guard, like this says, is ready to take those disappointments as just a gift from God. That whatever goes wrong, whatever goes bad, whatever happens that seems to hurt me is just a blessing. You know, we would often think that whenever things go wrong, it's a stumbling block, something to hinder us, but that's not what God does. He removes those things. That's what hurts, when he takes those things that are in the way away. But they're a blessing to help us move forward and to go on. Anyway, this, when we get to verse 10, verse 7, it says, which of you having a slave plowing or tending sheep will say to him when he has come in from the field, come immediately and sit down to eat? But he will not say to him, prepare something for me to eat and properly clothe yourself, and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you may eat and drink. You know, after a person's put in a hard day, you know, which of you having a slave plowing or tending sheep will say to him when he has come from the field, come immediately and sit down to eat? You know, we like to think that that's the way we like to be treated. And that, we think that's just fair. That after we put in a hard day work, I'm just going to go clean up, kick my feet up, and have a little rest. Because I've done what I'm supposed to have done. And so that's the mentality. That's what we expect. But we come in, and the boss says, okay, now fix me something. Well, clean yourself up, make yourself presentable, and then so you can prepare something for me to eat and feed me. You know, that's not what we... That's another way we can be offended, because we get to expecting something that we expect, that we deserve a little peace. We deserve a little rest. We deserve our own time. We deserve being a little special treatment. After all, we worked hard all day. And so we just expect something. And then someone doesn't give us what we expect, who gets all upset? We get upset, don't we? It kind of aggravates us, because we're thinking a little higher of ourselves. And, you know, I don't know how many times I remember the first time I ever got paid for a job. I don't know, I was 9 years old, I think, and I went and unloaded a chicken house. The dad sent me with the tractor and the manure spreader, and I was going to get paid to help this man clean out his chicken house. And I hauled load after load. I hauled 9 or 10 or 11 loads of chicken litter out of a barn and went and spread it. Worked all morning, and I was just thinking, you know, well, if I get a dollar a load, you know, I worked all morning and I could make $10 or $11 today. So I had that in my mind, and noon came, and just like we always did, whenever you went to work for somebody, the woman had a meal prepared, and we sat and ate that meal, and we'd got the chore done for the man, and he got his checkbook out and wrote out his check and handed it to me and gave me $3. And I thought, whew, boy, I had all great expectations of making $10 for a half a day's work. And here I got 3. So I just thanked the man and folded it in my pocket and thanked him for the dinner and learned a big lesson. You start expecting something, it's not somebody else's fault if they short you. Because like this example here, this man, he does not think the slave, because he had done the things which were commanded, does he? And you say, of course not. So you, when you have done the things which are commanded, you say, we are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we have ought to have done. You know, Chet talked about diligence. You know, and sometimes we can talk ourselves into doing things if there's going to be a big payday. But what does that really matter? Why don't we just be faithful and diligent, no matter what we're going to get out of it? Focus more on the job at hand instead of the supposed reward we may get. And that whenever we're working with the brethren, you know, a lot of times we just think because we have a little bit tough that God's going to give us this big reward because we've been through so much. And, you know, they sing the songs about I'm a millionaire and just have raking it into heaven because I've donated a little bit here and there. And you know, I think a lot of times we're going to look at our puny little $3 check when we get to heaven, and I don't think we'll complain. whatever it is. And I don't think anybody that's expecting a big, big reward in heaven, they might not even make it in the first place. It's a sad thing. And if we're going to be disappointed with the $3 check, we might not even deserve to be there in the first place. A diligent, faithful servant just does what's in front of him. Just does what he's supposed to do. And they're faithful, they're diligent, and they just do it. Whenever we're working with brethren, or whether we're in the church, we're not so worried about what everybody else is doing. We're just going to be faithful. And if someone does us wrong, we're ready to forgive them. Not because we think it's adding reward. See, everything has, we can have a bad spirit in all of it. Because that's who we are. Anyway, be faithful. May the Lord add his blessing. Take care of what's right in front of you. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? All right. Well, Lord willing, we'll meet back here at 6:00. God bless y'all. Depart in peace. Thank you.